It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast as Daniel launches into a third installment. We hope we're going to wrap it up today. The issue of gender identity issues. Almost gender politics, but we're trying to get into some of the terms and things that people are throwing around, we're hearing about in school.
Yes.
And important to listen to those couple of previous shows because we don't have time to review too much of that.
The muddy waters of gender dysphoria, and we did go over, it is, as you say, it's very important to pick up those first two shows. We won't reiterate because we've got so much material to go through
and
here.
And where are those shows available?
Podcasts at BibleBasedCounselor.com, right at the top of the page there when you go to podcasts. So we went through, we were kind of wrapping up last week. We were talking about the actual specific terms that have been created to kind of accommodate this whole confusion of gender. And so, again, we've specified between gender and gender traits in the first couple of series. So do catch those in order for this to make sense to you. Just quickly continuing on here, one of the terms, gender fluid, and that's just, may refer to, these are quotes out of this kind of like a, it's not really a research. It's a paper that was written at a liberal website called teentalk.ca.
Defining terms.
Yeah, and so they're just creating and defining these terms. So may refer to gender which varies over time. Well, that's so it fluctuates between gender, and it says it varies in response to different circumstances. So this is my comment to that. For example, a girl might feel comfortable wearing jeans, rock climbing, but prefer wearing an evening dress for a formal dinner. Now, when I give you my comment on it, you say, well, what's strange about that? And the fact is there's nothing strange about it, but they're conflating this to mean, well, she's not really always a girl then. When she's wearing jeans rock climbing, she's a boy or something else, which is lunacy.
So again, and then the main the point you brought out in the last few shows too is this conflation of male and female with masculine and feminine.
Right.
Male and female are definitely
gender.
Absolutes.
Right.
Gender, but masculine and feminine
gender traits.
Traits.
Yeah,
and they're not anchored to the gender.
They're
trying to conflate those issues.
And then the last one is just gender neutrality. And what do you think that means? Well, feels neither male nor female. Identifies with neither. I have in parentheses here a three-year-old. This is my idea on this. Three-year-olds do this a lot. That is, they don't identify with either male or female. So do adult men and women who are doing similar activities. Like if, guys and gals are working in the fire department, they're not distinguishing between male and female other than the restrooms, hopefully. But the gals have to do the men's work and the men, they don't distinguish. So once again, there's nothing strange or abnormal about this. It's just that it's being conflated to mean, well, if a gal is working for the fire department, if she doesn't distinguish between male and female, then that's a whole nother gender called neutral gender. Muddy waters. And one final quote here from this Teen Talk .ca, I think it's Canada. Gender dysphoria involves the conflict between a person's physical and assigned gender. So we talked about assigned gender before. That's the one you're born with. People with gender dysphoria may feel uncomfortable with the gender they're assigned to, sometimes described as being uncomfortable in their body, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. People with gender dysphoria may often experience significant distress or problems functioning associated with the conflict between the way they feel and the way that they think of themselves. Again, to give an illustration here, when my daughter was growing up and when she was going into puberty and that whole business that gals know about, all the stress and the hormones, and she said many times, "I hate being a girl." And so she would be labeled as dysphoric. But actually, that's just hate having to put up with all this business about all the physiological stuff that goes with this. You know, I'd rather just put on a pair of jeans and get out in the woods and, you know, do some hiking and not have to worry about this stuff. So once again, they've just deflated this. So moving on, I wanted to bring out some tidbits from an research. And as I said before, when we were gabbing before the show here, Mark, I'm surprised that they printed this research, because it's pretty damning in terms of what the liberals are trying to do. This is a research based in something that was done at Brown University. And by the way, if you want this research, I'm going to try to post it at my website, ChristianCounselorsForum.com. I've got in the archives, I've got one page or resource that has to do with resources for homosexual, regarding homosexuality, et cetera. And I'm going to put this article, the link to this article at that on that page, so that you can go and read this article for yourself. But just some of the things that come out of this is, this was like 256 parents that they researched, interviewed regarding what they call AYA, or adolescent young adults, average age 15 years. Well, the mean age was 16 years old. And the completion of the survey, I guess the mean age was 15, a year younger. So some, apparently, the older ones apparently dropped out, or they cut them because it didn't line up with the research. So some of these things that come out of the parents reporting, 62.5% of these adolescent young adults that are reporting with dysphoria had reportedly been diagnosed with at least one mental health illness. This is prior to as many as 7 diagnoses. So these are kids that have been diagnosed with, and so there could be a whole discussion about why are these kids under 16 being diagnosed with as many as 7 diagnoses. And as a counselor, I would have the parents in my counseling office, I'd want to, asking them, what kind of a family life do you have when you've got a child that's diagnosed with as many as 7 mental illness diagnoses and probably taken medications for a bunch of these? And is it any wonder then that they get caught up in this dragnet? Mm-hmm. So these were prior to this, their report of this. 37% report that, or reported 37% of these situations were just kids caught up in groups where there was a strong personality that was a transsexual, or, you know, identified as some oddball gender thing. And so they went along with the leader of the group. Mm. And so that's just typical stuff. You know, kids find a group and they go along with the strong
peer
personality.
Pressure, peer whatever's
pressure.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Parent-child relationships. And 42% or 57% of these cases, there was a bad parent-child relationships. And you know what happens when parents and children don't have a good relationship. If the parent tells the child, don't do that, that's exactly what the child does. Mm. I remember having a conversation with my daughter who wanted to learn to play musical instruments, and she said the drums, and I said, that's not an instrument, you can pick anything else. So now she has 3 sets of drums and plays drums for 2 bands. And so just the thing I told her not to do, she was going to do, mm-hmm. probably because she knew that I couldn't play the drums, so I couldn't be standing over her shoulder telling her how to do it. So she chose. But so kids do that, right?
So this is just a modern kind
this
of a
this is just modern stuff.
Modern rebellion.
Just modern
kind of
stuff.
A new way for kids to be rebellious and kind of give it, you know, talk to the hand, to the man, you know.
Yeah. So. A lot of it had to do with what they call natal females, or gals that are going into puberty. And just, you know, good grief, you know, what gal is completely comfortable with herself when she starts to go into puberty? That's just entirely different than it is for boys. And so a couple other things I want to bring out here. The idea, the research has a term they call contagion, and there's social contagion is the the spread or affect or behavior through population. So it's an emotional thing, or it's a behavioral thing that spreads through a population. It's called social contagion.
Hmm. You mean a psychological illness can spread?
Yeah.
It's like contagious?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, maybe an idea, certainly.
And so here's peer contagion in particular is the process where an individual and peer mutually influence each other in a way that promotes emotions and behaviors that can potentially have negative effects. So doesn't that sound normal? Individual and a peer mutually influence one another in a way that promotes emotions and behaviors that can potentially be negative. So that's they have a name for that now. It's called peer contagion. Deviancy training is kind of a similar thing. It has to do initially with rule breaking and delinquency and aggression. And it's the process whereby attitudes and behaviors associated with the problem behaviors are promoted with positive reinforcement by peers. Mm. You know, you're smoking, I'll smoke too, you know, or, throw a rock through the window.
Well, it's always been my contention that homosexuality in general and then all of these different issues are kind of a religion. It seems like it's spread and like you say, a social contagion. I've interviewed people who say particularly the whole transgender thing is mm-hmm. almost like a cult.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people want to belong. I think I've said on the show before, if you look at some of these Antifa, these violent gatherings, you know, you see the front rows where there are certain troublemakers that are very aggressive, but they're, you know, when you get back a ways, you see the timidity on the faces of some of these. They're being gradually emboldened, you know, even in Hitler's brown shirts, you know, the history on that was not all of those brown shirts were hated the Jews. As a matter of fact, after the night of Crystal, the Crystal Night, when they went out breaking, some of those people actually went back and helped clean up because they felt bad about what had been done. But the bottom line was they were either going to march ultimately, with the front runners, or they were going to be the other side. So, of course, they're going to join up and they're going to behave. It's a really a deliberate affront to God, ultimately, the whole thing. Frustration that youth experience growing into adulthood is not new, but it's being handled in a new way. Adults who want to practice evil and cast off moral restraints are teaching future adults that there are no moral restraints.
That's why this is so insidious, again, when we see this being taught to younger and younger kids in school. It really, it's not good. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk in after the break here, kind of more God's view of identity, and if there is such a thing, gender identity, and his prescription for a sound mind in this area. Mm-hmm. People are struggling with this issue or anything else, maybe in their family. Maybe they have a young person who's confused. Daniel, you'd like to help. How do people get in touch with you?
Well, the phone number is 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website BibleBasedCounselor.com. where you will find these radio broadcasts as podcasts. Also, offices in Kirkland and Edmonds.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the subject of gender identity, I think we're going to be able to wrap up our series. Again, a couple of parts before this show today. You can find those previous broadcasts at BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel, kind of want to get back to God's prescription for male and female in here in a sec as we wrap things up.
Right, because we've been talking for some time now about the secular view and what's going on, and I think a lot of times Christians are a little bit confused about, because they get pulled into this too. We find this in churches now and in private schools. Kind of a whole, a more or less biblical view of it. And I think it's important as we go through this last section here to reiterate kind of the distinction between male, masculine, feminine versus male and female, where male and female are the genders. That's physiological. You know, you're either born with male physiology or of female physiology, and those are the two genders, and there aren't any other genders. But there are, there's a whole spectrum of gender traits, and those are, we typify those masculine or feminine. We don't want to confuse the two. There are many flavors of masculine and feminine, and there are men who are florists and women who are truck drivers, and but that doesn't make them something other than men and women. And so I wanted to just say a little bit about, you know, we know that God actually is neither male or female, and we have these scripture verses, you know, in Matthew 22, where Jesus is saying, you know, that in the resurrection there's neither marriage or given in marriage, but we'll be like angels in heaven. There won't be male and female.
That's quite a thought.
It is, and I want to clarify a bit on that. In Galatians, Paul says that there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female in Christ. So the genders don't really matter. What really matters is the gender traits, because those are really characters of God. I'm just going to jump over here and gender traits. We have, I think, like the gifts of the Spirit. God doesn't have the gifts of the Spirit. He is essentially, those are his attributes.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the gift of discernment or the gift of wisdom.
He is discernment.
He is discernment. He is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't have masculine or feminine traits. Those traits are sourced in him. They become masculine and feminine in our dimensions of time space, because in order for God to create this, create us in a way where there's this procreative dynamic that I think is divine, where God within his one nature is procreative. I've said on shows before that he is eminently, intimately relational in himself. And I kind of visualize this as a prism. When light shines into a prism, it refracts. And we say it refracts in three basic colors. Well, I say refracts in many colors, but three basic colors it refracts into.
Yellow, blue, and red.
And so we can sort of see that this is somewhat a picture of God coming into when he created and came in and poured himself into or demonstrated himself in time and space, we experience him as a Trinity. So he has this within himself, this procreative dynamic where he is just creational. And when he created male and female or man in his image, it also was a plurality. And so God pours himself into male and female, and so his attributes polarize in a sense. So God has, he has all these attributes. Some of them we recognize as more masculine because they tend to polarize toward men, and some we recognize as feminine because they tend to polarize toward women. But they're not anchored in those genders, and so that's why there can be women who fight fires and men who arrange flowers. Masculine traits might be something like this, and this is, of course, not exhaustive, but when you think of the God the Father, for example, and we think of kind of the iconic man, judgment, authority, leadership, force, vision, stability, in charge, overseeing, competitive, those kinds of things. Now, if I read those things, you say, well, I know women that are somewhat like that, and that's true. You can. So here we see Jesus, the carpenter, the cleanser of the temple, the victor over death, the Lion of Judah. Those are the masculine, we would say the masculine, but they are actually just certain traits of God that we recognize as masculine because they're sort of polarized toward men in our experience. And then we have traits that we might call feminine, and these would be compassion, devotion, grace, mercy, charity, peace, gentleness, kindness, detail-oriented. And, of course, there are many others. But here we have Jesus, the lover of children, the gentle, the forgiving, the patient, the healer, the lamb, the silent lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are things that are part of God's nature. We recognize them as part of his nature. They polarize toward the male and female here, but they're not necessarily male and female. All men aren't equally masculine, and all women aren't equally feminine. We share these attributes of God in such a way that there's complementarity. So in a given marriage, for example, I don't think it really matters whether the husband or wife wears the pants, so to speak, right? The point is that somebody must. Somebody's got to, as I have down here, somebody's got to fix the car. Somebody's got to balance the checkbook. Somebody's got to repair the roof. Somebody's got to cook the meals. Somebody's got to be a big picture person, and somebody's got to be the detail executive. Now, sometimes it's the male, sometimes it's the female, and I've seen all combinations of this.
Sure.
That doesn't matter. The thing that's important is it's a complementarity here where there's a dynamic between the husband in this household and the wife in this household, regardless of what the feminine masculine, how the feminine and masculine traits are distributed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dynamic that's created that requires them to submit to one another, honor one another, and that's now we're getting toward that imminent, intimate relational.
And then to submit to God
himself. Correct.
There's that Trinity right there in the marriage relationship.
Right.
And the Bible constantly uses the term as the marriage supper of the Lamb. So mm-hmm. marriage is one of God's main analogies as to what he's like.
Yeah.
So
now you have the masculine or the male female, and there's also the procreative aspect of that as well. And I also like to look at the idea that this is not just for the male and female, obviously, is not just for mankind, because you see male and female in lower animals. And if you continue to go back, there's this underlying procreative nature of God that you even see, or I even see them, in electrons shared between elements in order to make molecules. So you see there's a principle that as it gets towards more complex creation, it begins to polarize in masculine and male-female, masculine and feminine. And actually, if we look at some of the animals in the wild, for example, I'm thinking of lions right now, you would see, I don't think that animals behave in such a way that there are certain traits that are necessarily masculine and certain traits that are necessarily feminine. There are roles that they obviously play. Obviously, mm-hmm. the female bears the cubs, so to say, and the male can't. But it's when you get to mankind that these attributes that are that polarize toward male and female, like the ones that I read off of that
sure.
list, that they because they are the nature of God that he shares. Shares that with us. I mean, you can see them reflected in all of nature, the mm-hmm. beauty of flowers, the intelligence of animals, but they're unique in such a way to human beings, of course, because God breathed into us that spirit and the awareness of God and the awareness of our mortality. And so these masculine, feminine things are principled in mankind in such a way, as I say, in such a way that they create this complementarity and also mm-hmm. a dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that people have to be aware of in trying to sort out this whole dysphoria thing. There's so much more we could have said, but I think we've probably, Mark, done a pretty good deal of laying this out on the table. Again, if people... I'd encourage them to go back and look and hear the first two of these, and this fits nicely with that. And that concludes it.
But,
then.
Well, and I think also to put a kind of a bow on this too, again, God's image is male and female, and that's his image for flourishing. Human flourishing mm-hmm. means being male or female. That's why homosexuality of any kind is death. It's a closed system. I mean, it's not, and that's why, you know, whether it's gay marriage and all these things.
It blurs the clear picture of man in God's image.
Yeah.
Again, the homosexual thing totally discounts that fundamental basic principle of procreation.
Yeah.
Which underlies that it's, you know, the procreation, bringing forth life, is such part of the nature of God. And bringing forth that new life is God's seal mm. on the relationship between mm. the man and the woman, mm-hmm. the bringing forth of life. So there's just no way around that.
Yeah, and that's why you just got to stand against this and don't go with the culture, don't go with the flow. This is kind of the current thing, this transgender stuff and gender, all these gender mm. issues and political issues based on gender identity. It's a real downward spiral in our society, and we really need to stand against it in many ways. and be concerned about it, particularly when it's being taught to younger and younger children.
Right.
If you're struggling with this issue or you need counseling on any issue, Daniel would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through this website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you will find these radio shows and podcasts. And the offices are Edmonds and Kirkland.
Okay, always great stuff. Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.